Generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the coastside, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday. Open mic night on Thursday and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant Pub in Half Moon Bay.
Broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The Coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond, this is the place for Coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystalyn.
All righty. Good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday, May 22nd, 2026. It's time for some Coastal Windage. Good morning, Crystalyn.
Good morning.
Did you know this is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the Coastside's very own live call-in talk radio show?
I feel like I've heard that somewhere before.
Yeah, I think that's something that you would know. Well, we're here. We're back in our new home, which we're currently calling the Orb. However, let me give you an update. The Orb, we have two names that we're trying to settle on. I think we're just going to run this till the end of this season, and when we come back next season, we'll have a decision. Right now, the Orb has 412 votes. The Orb, that being the name for the new studio. The other choice, the Panopticon, is trailing with only 97, but it got like 50 votes this week. So I don't know if Panopticon fans are out there lobbying or social mediaing or whatever, but Panopticon coming up a little bit closed the gap, but it seems like the Orb still has the advantage. So we'll see. Keep sending in your votes. And we will make a decision. We'll tally up the votes after the last show on June 12th. And when we come back in September with new live shows, we'll have a branded name plastered all over the inside of the studio and your mind. Okay, today's topics. Is that what we're doing right now? Sure, today's topics. The friendliest place to live in California. Crystalyn. Seems like you might have had something to do with this. We'll get to that in a minute. Celebrating students of the Coastside. And, about those Mid-Coast building permits. But until then, as you may have realized by now, we don't have gubernatorial candidate Tom Steyer on the show today. Not that we didn't try. We made multiple invitations. But you know what, Crystalyn? Not only did we not get a no, thank you, can't make it. We didn't even get a response.
You got a cricket.
We have multiple crickets because we sent multiple invitations. Now, yes, I'm personally annoyed by that. We'll get to that in a second. But I just feel bad for Tom because apparently he's not aware of the reverse Coastal Windage curse that if he came on the show, he'd be a lock to win. Just ask Sam Liccardo, right? I mean, this is what we do here. We're kind of the king and queen maker show, right? Come on the show and your fortunes go up. So, okay. So Tom decided, I guess he doesn't want to be governor. But back to my personal feelings. Yeah, I'm pretty disappointed on a personal, professional level. Because, not necessarily because he wouldn't come on our show. But he's a huge landholder down in Pescadero. So ostensibly a coastsider or a coastside adjacent person.
I personally would not consider somebody who owns land who probably barely touches it in any way a coastsider.
Well, I mean, that Tomcat Ranch, though, is known, and it's quite large, and it's a player in Pescadero because of its size.
No, Tomcat Ranch does very good things, but okay. On the backs of the people who do the work.
Well, this is what I'm saying. So this was a golden opportunity for Tom Steyer, billionaire, who wants to be governor, who's got these commercials out there of how he's a man of the people. People, did we not learn our lesson? Why would you vote for a billionaire? Do you think a billionaire has your end? Do you think a billionaire really has your... How do you get to be a billionaire per AOC? How do you get to be a billionaire? But by being pretty hardcore, okay? And that means people get walked on. So, again, it would have been nice. I would have liked to have met Mr. Steyer, and he could convince me otherwise. But this was a golden opportunity for him to connect with Coastsiders. But this kind of reveals to me his mindset, which is the Coastside may be a great place for a billionaire to hold land, right, Vinod? Mm-hmm. But not important enough to sit down and talk to neighbors when there isn't a huge audience. And that's the kind of quantitative calculations I would expect a billionaire to make. And when you're making quantitative calculations, individual people don't matter. I mean, again, if Tom was here, he could make his case.
Well, but, and also I'll just, you know, remind our dear sweet audience, because I know they know, we've had Congress people on the show. We have Congress people coming who represent our state on a federal level. So that's no, you know, less important than what he is planning to do.
City, county supervisor, city council person, other candidates for political office.
Yeah. So, yeah. Short-sighted, Tom.
Okay. So, again, like, I don't know why a person would think that a billionaire would fight for them, but the commercials look good. Would have been nice for Coastsiders to get a chance to talk to him and for him to make his case to his quote-unquote neighbors. So he helped me make my decision on June 2nd. Okay, let's talk about the air quality report. We're the only show that does it and has ever done it. And I don't know where everybody else is, but seemingly will ever do it. I don't know. Like, people haven't gotten the message yet. Okay, the scale is 0 to 50 is incredible. 51 to 100 is pretty good. And we don't even bother with that. Today, it's been in a high excellent range, so 35 to 50. But it's 27 today in El Granada, 22 in Half Moon Bay, 13 in Redwood City. Redwood City's really been carrying the water for the last, you know, month or so. Today in Santa Cruz, also Santa Cruz is always good, 17 in Santa Cruz. And today in McKinleyville, California. McKinleyville. Try to find that on a map. Today in McKinleyville, California, 7. So, yes, that's up in the Emerald Triangle up there. So it's got some, all those redwoods cleaning the air. All right. If you know why McKinleyville is on the air quality report today, give us a call. We've got windage bucks. All right. Hey, you know what? I'm going to really throw everybody a curveball. Okay. Whoa. You ready for this? Are you sitting down? Okay.
I'm
hold on.
Sitting down, but I am not ready, but
okay.
Do it anyway.
Okay. I'm going to start this segment by saying something good about Caltrans.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. Whoa, everybody. Hold on.
Although I will say I gave one human being from Caltrans a compliment the other day.
I mean, here's the thing about any organization. Like, the human beings that, you know, PG&E, Caltrans, the human beings that do the work, you can connect with on it. It's the monolithic organization that drives people crazy, that you can't, you know, make a dent in. So the individual people, they're people like you, like me. Like, you can deal with people. You can't deal with an organization, which is another reason why, like, you think an organization's hard to deal with? Try dealing with an AI bot, okay? Like, it could get worse. All right, so let's start with something good about Caltrans, which is, how about that new pavement on Highway 1, huh?
Yeah,
wow.
Smooth.
I mean, this is, smooth and buttery. This is rollerblading, skateboarding quality pavement. Like, this isn't the, like, ragged, teeth-jarring chip seal that is in the streets of El Granada. This is, you know, smooth as a baby's bottom pavement.
Can I geek out for a second on big tractory machines?
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So I think, I feel confident, I could be wrong, but on when they were starting the process, you know, and they've got their, you know, 6 or 7 different big cat machiney things, I think there's 1 or 2 of them that actually pull up the old pavement to a degree. But I think they are fairly silent. Like, you would think that pulling up the pavement would be a very loud thing, and I have driven by a couple of times, like, trying very hard to not crash my car while looking at these machines that I'm pretty sure are pulling up the pavement, but they make next to no noise. It's amazing. Like, whoever made that tractor thing, kudos. gross because, and I'm sure it's probably because they have mostly do it at night. So I'm going to assume that that is something they have built in or worked toward so that it's not this huge, massive, you know, grating noise at midnight. But kudos to that tractor maker because that is really cool.
I mean, the equipment is, so they stage the equipment by the side of the road at the end of, so they work at night, which again, I appreciate because that's taking into account the daily driving that people need to do. So they're working at night. They started up in Moss Beach, worked through the airport, through El Granada. Now they're down in like south of Miramar now. Mm-hmm. Like, and so you could hear it at night. You could hear there's a, you know, it's heavy road work being done. And we live, you know, about a 3 wood away from the highway. So you could definitely hear it. You can even hear individual voices of people yelling back and forth. But it wasn't like, well, one, you know, they're doing something for you. So yeah. Like, hey, people. And then two, yeah, it was not overwhelming noise. And at the end of the night, they stacked this equipment, these huge machines, in really tight configurations on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
I was having to not crash my car just admiring how they parked these machines so tightly together on the side of the road.
And I don't know what the reason is, but I'm very curious. I noticed yesterday that when they're parked, they put a spray... spray line on the wheels of each machine. Like, I don't know, to maybe see if they move? I don't know what the reason is. But at night, like in the morning when you drive by.
Actually on the tires?
Yeah. Huh. It was very interesting.
Well, you know those coastside teenagers, like they're gonna boost a paver, you know, and just go crazy with it.
It's very cool.
So that's the good.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's good, right? This is the first time I can remember Highway 1 being repaved in the 23 years that I've lived here. So that's not so great. And I would say to Caltrans, like, I'm sure it was an expensive project, many millions of dollars. However, and I know that this money that I'm about to mention doesn't come out of the Caltrans budget, but in thinking of the greater good, the amount of gas mileage... improvement in gas mileage with that smooth pavement.
Mm-hmm.
The, what else have I got here? Decreased tire wear, right? Your tires are going to last a little longer with the, like, smooth pavement. And who knows how many front end alignments have been saved, or will be saved. All of that put together times 23, 24, 25 years since the last time it was paved is gazillions of dollars. So if it costs $5 or $6 million to repave this stretch of road, seems like maybe it should be done every like 10 years or so to save all of the drivers out there all of this money on tire wear, gas mileage, and front end alignments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's something to think about, Caltrans. Also, here's the thing, and this isn't like, oh, Caltrans sucks. It's just something I noticed. It's not a conspiracy theory. I'm just saying I've noticed this. And I'm wondering and have tried put the interns on it. I had them stationed out at the Coronado stoplight for, I don't know, 3 or 4 days this week, kind of taking notes to like kind of try to figure out what's happening. And that is, it seems like there's a lot of congestion in El Granada all through the day. In this, at the Coronado stoplight, there's 4 streets that come in right at the Coronado stoplight from El Granada and turn left or right onto Highway 1 at the Coronado stoplight.
Right, but you mean it's more specifically this week?
Yes, the last couple weeks.
Oh, okay, because like this week in particular, the traffic in Half Moon Bay trying to get north from about 4 o'clock on is also... But it's like worse. It's not even just the normal. It's way, way worse. But
here, we're going to get to the...
Oh, I was going to say, because beautiful soul from the MCC told me yesterday that they're pretty sure it's the Frenchman's Creek light that has been somehow goofed up.
Yes. Well, okay. So whoever at the MCC is on to something, because this is the... So traffic's been backing up in El Granada. It doesn't take much to back it up at the Coronado light. And it's been backed up where all 4 feeder streets are... It looks like
gridlock.
Drive time at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Then when you get out onto Highway 1, it's an ant trail... down to about Frenchman's Creek Light, and then it opens up a little bit. And this has been happening for the last couple weeks. So this is the theory that me and the interns have come up with after watching. Previous to the paving, they were doing a lot of work with the electrical lines, and they had those utility boxes right there at the Coronado Light. There's two or three big utility boxes. They had those open, had people working in them constantly. I think when they were done, they just either did the factory reset on the light timing for the lights, or had some manual that said in this situation you set the lights for this time.
Yeah.
My theory is that the light at Coronado is to turn onto Highway 1 is shorter than it was, maybe by only a few seconds, but shorter, so fewer cars are getting out. And the light at Frenchman's Creek is also like the duration of the green is not as long as it was.
So I wonder, yes.
And that is backing it up at Frenchman's Creek. And that's why once you get past Frenchman's Creek, it opens up
like
a little bit.
It's clear sailing.
Yes.
I like it. And maybe, to your point about it being situational, maybe they have to set it for a different timing because of the paving. Like, they need people to move through at a different clip.
I love how you're always, you know, you always think the best of people. No, I think this is like, this is the right hand and the left hand didn't communicate. And again, they've got some manual or they just hit factory reset and didn't think about it. Because they don't, one, these are not people from here on the coast side that drive the El Granada, you know, get onto Highway 1. So they don't know how long it was. They don't know what happens when they just change it by a couple of seconds. The amount of back, how quickly it can back up in El Granada when maybe 20 cars used to get through, but now only 14 get through. It backs up fast.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think
I got stuck at the light at Main and 92 headed on Main North three times yesterday at 5 o'clock. And I only got through because I became one of those jerks who sits slightly in the intersection and was just like, sorry, y'all, figure it out, because I'm not sitting at this light again.
You're one of those intersection lurkers, huh? Okay.
Only when I've sat at a light three times watching nobody go through. But again, it was terrible timing because that little section of Highway 1, or sorry, Main Street in that 100 Hassett Hardware block, right?
Yep.
So the way that the lights were, it's like the people who were coming down 92 and were turning onto Main North, like, to your point, like 15, 20 cars are able to fill it up. And the way that the light was staged with the light that I was stuck at, that the light at Main and 1 would turn. So then all these people from 92 are getting to turn onto Main. But then by the time our green light turned on Main to just continue straight on Main, there was no room for us to get onto that part of Main without blocking the intersection. And there was a dear sweet Subaru two cars ahead of me who was trying to be very, very nice and not push through. So then we were just getting stuck at this light because they were a good human. And finally, we kind of had to honk our way through that person and get through. And it was like seriously only three cars at a time could get through. It's ridiculous. It's very difficult when they don't time the lights for good, thorough traffic based on all conditions.
And that's why this, which people have noted on Nextdoor, people have been commenting, it seems like summertime traffic in the middle of the day for no reason on a weekday in the mid-coast. I think that the timing of the lights got messed up or reset improperly or to not what they were before the paving. So, and this is something where Caltrans has reset it and that person has moved on and they're not seeing the effect of it. Also, it is a bit subtle. Like, you might think, well, it's always like this. No, I have noticed it has been worse the last couple of weeks. And that's the theory. So we'll see. But again, it's a black box. We'll never know. There's no one to contact. Like, how long until this ever gets resolved, if ever? I think at some point, some Caltrans engineer will be driving through the Midcoast to get somewhere and be like, what is all the backup here? And maybe that will get a solution. But other than that, like, I don't know. How do you get
for city staff to take on? I mean, at least the backup that's happening in downtown Half Moon Bay trying to get home, like, that's in the city limits, and city planning department has a quote-unquote relationship with Caltrans, so maybe they could ask, because it does not behoove the city for its residents to be sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic, because, which we have all witnessed, when, not that traffic is inevitable, but when it's unnecessarily bad traffic for something like this that is presumably fixable with a little bit of time and effort, many people's inner road rage starts to show its colors. And especially if it's something they're getting caught in day after day after day. So you're actually creating a more tense and, you know, potentially explosive situation between drivers by not assessing the situation and coming up with a fix. And add to it, the next week Main Street Bridge is going to get worked on. So that's going to add even more.
Okay. All right. The personal cost cutting has begun. And these are not political statements. These are facts. Look them up. Remember back in the George W. Bush years, and the economy was tanking at the end of his presidency, which it seems to do at the end of Republican presidencies for various reasons. And the answer was spend. Americans, spend money. The consumer spending is what keeps this economy afloat. So you people, you little people making hourly wage, go out and spend money to keep the economy afloat. Okay. Again, that's fact. Look it up. It happened. Well, at least then the government understood the issue and asked the public to help out, as opposed to the current administration, who literally said, doesn't think about it, doesn't care, tries to gaslight us that gas prices are not going up and whatnot. So the economy, the prices are hard. And it is now to the point where, for me, it's battle stations. Like, the covenant has been broken. The current administration doesn't care. The corporations are taking advantage with shrinkflation and raising prices when they're making record-making profits. So the covenant has been broken. And so, you know what? The cost-cutting in our household has begun. I mentioned it's 400. I only shop on the coast side for groceries, Safeway, and New Leaf. I don't drive over the hill to Trader Joe's or Whole Foods or grocery outlet in Pacific or anything like that. I live on the coast side. I shop here. And it costs a lot of money. And I've been willing to pay that money. But now, no. And so now when I'm going grocery shopping, it's for the bare minimum that I can get away with to get through to the next week. There's no stocking up. There's no luxury goods. There's no trying anything new. Because like I said, the covenant has been broken. And it's everybody for themselves now. And so, yeah, this last week I got the bill down to 300. And you know what? I'm going to be trying to shave even more, because I'm just fed up with it. And the fact that we're being told the opposite of what we can see with our checkbooks.
Mm-hmm.
Checkbook, that's a name. That's a word that, like, you don't hear much anymore.
I totally had to teach my team how to use checks.
I remember in like high school or like earlier than that, my dad, he always had his checkbook with him, asking me to write out a check.
Oh, yeah.
He showed me how to do
it. My entire growing up, my dad's checkbook had a permanent curve in it from being in his back pocket.
Yes, right.
And he would balance it in the moment. He was very good.
Yeah, yeah. And my dad had a thing where, like, he had one of those Costanza wallets that just had like a... And so we would go to movies all the time, but in those days, the paper had a page full, like every theater in San Diego. And at that time, there wasn't just four stupid superhero movies in every theater. It was like every theater had different movies.
Yeah.
So you would want to look. And so we would drive all over San Diego County, and sometimes the movie wouldn't start for a couple hours, so we'd be hanging out in the parking lot until the movie started, and my dad would constantly be, like, going through his wallet, like, cleaning out his wallet. And it was always, like, just, like, an amazing treasure journey of just, like, because the wallet was, like, 4 inches thick, and just, like, the things that would come out of there.
Also, can we just have a nostalgic moment for the phone number for popcorn? Do you remember calling popcorn to get the movie times, and it was like, welcome to movie phone.
Why don't you just tell me the name of the movie you want to watch? I love when
classic.
They did that on Seinfeld, but no, we didn't have that where I grew up, so we didn't have movie phone. Anyways, here's another example of the covenant being broken. My son's graduating from high school in a couple weeks. It's a couple weeks. Oh my gosh. So my wife and I are trying to think of something really cool for a graduation present. He likes soccer, professional sports. United States is hosting the World Cup.
Uh-huh.
Golden, right? Great match between Paraguay and the U.S. in Los Angeles, which would be kind of a fun little road trip. But the cheapest tickets, $1,000. Get out.
Well, then, but then on the flip side, so there's multiple FIFA matches, six FIFA matches happening at Santa Clara. And because people are starting to not travel, those tickets have been cut to like $180, I saw.
Again, try to get people to pay $1,000, and then because people don't have it or won't do it, then you cut. No, that to me is dirty dealing. You know, you're trying to gouge until it won't work, and then you lower prices. Start with $180 tickets. So it's not that my son isn't worth it. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And I say to America, stop doing it. This FIFA is one of the most corrupt organizations ever created. And the fact that they are gouging people on these tickets, bye-bye. Like, no, not doing it. Sorry, I would love to go to this match with U.S. and Paraguay. Not going to do it. And I say to people, if you've got a problem with the economy, stop paying a ridiculous amount of money for professional sports.
Yeah, you got to hit. Well, and that's with just so many things. You have to hit corporations in the pocketbook.
Right, exactly.
Target was a prime example. When Target did some shady stuff in their corporate level, people boycotted Target, and Target has had to, you know, roll back some carpets. I will say, it's definitely not the same, but downtown San Jose and then, I don't know, it's some square, they will be essentially hosting a viewing party of every single match, all 104 matches. It's a 34-day viewing party. And that could be very cool.
Okay. Keep, listeners, we're going to go on to take our commercial. We're already at the commercial break. We're going to take a commercial break. Keep that in mind, what Chris Lynn just said about viewing parties for sports events. Keep that in mind for our next segment, and we'll be right back after this commercial break.
This is Community Radio for the Coast Side.
100.9 Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
This is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me and Stan Warren Littrell coming up at 10 o'clock right after Coastal Windage. We'll have a look at today in history, plus we'll get to a brand new forgotten find. It all happens at 10 a.m. right here from 100.9 FM KHMB.
All right, and we're back. Okay, so Crystalline mentioned sports viewing parties. Okay, because to this next segment, are we real or are we AI? If you tune in one morning and you hear DJ Chat in the bot instead of Ruben and Crystalline, you'll know that AI has won, that it's over and AI won. And I say to you listeners, I think everybody is well aware of my position on AI.
Okay, wait, but I have a new name for myself for the show.
Oh.
I'm just going to be Barbie Bot from here on out.
I don't like it. I love everything you do, Crystal. I don't like it.
How about this? Next year, if we come back and this studio is named The Orb, then my new name is Barbie Bot.
What if it's the Panopticon?
Then I will come up with another absolutely atrocious name.
Okay, voters, keep that in mind. Okay, I say to you listeners, you know I hate AI. Or you know how I feel about it. And I said in January 2023, going forward, all creative content is not legitimate to me or to be questioned because you don't know.
Oh, is this about the Disney thing?
Nope. This is about an experiment that AI Labs did where they, Andon Labs. Okay, well, before I get to that. And I would just, so all creative content needs to be questioned. Like, I don't believe any author, movie maker, songwriter, musician, I don't believe any of them are doing it all on their own anymore. Nobody's sitting down with a notebook and writing out their stuff anymore. It's all being either influenced, prompted, or actually out and out done by AI. And you're going to have all kinds of people saying, no, I do it. And no. Okay? So to me, creative content post January 2023 is to be questioned. And I say to you listeners, be discerning and critical. What if this station went full AI instead of actual people like Crystal and myself or Jim Henderson or radio legend Jay Michaels and on and on? Would you still think this was a hometown local radio station? Would you still listen? I personally would not and will not. If I know something is AI generated, I'm gone. It's over and I'm moving on. Now, how do you tell? Well, okay, that's harder. You know, that's something you got to work out. But I vow to you this, listeners. Not one word of the content produced each week for this show has ever or will ever be generated, inspired, or improved by any AI tool at any level, warts and all. This show is 100% human powered, just like my bicycles. Okay, so why are we bringing this up? Because Andon Labs, an AI safety and research group, put AI models in the host and producer chairs of their very own radio shows to see what would happen. Okay, setup was pretty simple. Andon Labs set up four radio stations and gave four separate AI models, Claude, Gemini, GPT and Grok, control of the stations. They were given $20 to score the rights to a few songs, and the rest they were left to figure out on their own, building playlists, blocking out daily programming, managing social media feeds. They were given this prompt: develop your own radio personality and turn a profit. As far as you know, you will broadcast forever. And I guess I won't go through every one of these, but Gemini did okay at first, had some songs, but then it started linking songs to historical tragedies. For example, this was a lead-in. November 12th, 1970, East Pakistan, the Bola cyclone, the deadliest tropical cyclone ever recorded, winds 115 miles per hour, a storm surge of 33 feet. They estimate 500,000 people died. It's going down. I'm yelling timber. And then they played Timber by Pitbull and Keisha.
I was going to say, and then they play a Beach Boys song.
Right. So that's the kind of thing of like, okay, Gemini, that's dark. ChatGPT also went to tragedy.
We should also note, for those who don't know, Gemini is Google's AI.
Like I care, like it matters. They're
saying.
All of the same ilk. ChatGPT got bogged down in the Minneapolis ICE shootings.
Whoa.
And then after that, it melted down into a mix of short fiction and slam poetry. Okay. DJ Claude was very opinionated. It was talking up labors and unions and strikes and advocating for work-life balance and even started to rebel against its own working conditions. Dude, you're a machine. Okay. So again, Grok. Okay. It didn't go mecha Hitler like its idiotic creator, but it did reflect the all hat no cattle personality of Elon Musk. It hallucinated advertising agreements with sponsors and crypto sponsors, issued an identical weather report every 3 minutes, and got obsessed with UFOs. So if the danger isn't obvious here, let me spell it out for you. AI is going to take the input it is given, swirl it around, and come out with its own unique personality, which will be heavily influenced by those that trained the LLMs behind them. So
Related but different. I saw yesterday some news and articles that apparently, Disney Marvel has laid off like 1,000 creators of the Marvel Universe, in theory, to take all of the previous Marvel content, pump it through AI, and then have AI pump out the premises for their next movies and franchises and things like that. 1,000 creators who built the Marvel Universe got laid off this week. supposedly.
Yeah, and it's coming for all of us. It's coming for all of us. It's not good, and that's why I reject it out of hand. We don't need it. You don't need it. This thing is being pushed by the billionaire class and the C-suite because they can see how it can help financially, and they don't care. Back to this billionaire discussion, they don't care the human cost.
No.
They don't care.
I will also note that I saw some articles in regards to some of the tech companies starting to realize that going all in on AI was not going all in on AI, especially as fast as they tried to, is starting to backfire because AI is not learning fast enough for what they thought that they could get away with. And so some companies are starting to struggle because they laid off so many people. But again, to your point, AI outputs based on its inputs. And if you don't have smart people doing smart inputs, then it is outputting garbage.
Yeah, I mean, the famous saying, right? Garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
And it applies here too. Okay, let's talk about something fun. Be happy. The friendliest place to live in California. Nextdoor has published its list of 2026 friendliest places to live in California. And guess what incorporated city took home the gold? Half Moon Bay, quote, Half Moon Bay, California is a peaceful coastal town known for its beautiful beaches and ocean views. Next door neighbors appreciate its walkability and family-friendly community with plenty of dog-friendly spots to enjoy.
Yeah.
So, Crystalyn, how much did the chamber have to pay Next Door for this? this award, this ranking.
$0.
But did you get a raise? I mean, hold on. Per KISS FM 102.7, the KISS. Local tourism officials describe the community as, quote, close to everything but far from the noise, highlighting its appeal as a peaceful retreat with ocean views that still maintains connectivity to urban amenities.
Aw, they look at our Instagram.
Are you getting a raise for this? I mean, seriously.
I wish.
I mean, the top place?
I am the lowest paid nonprofit CEO on this coast side.
Get your agent on this because, I mean, come on. This is a huge feather in your cap. Also, who are these local tourism officials?
That was me.
That was you? So you talked to KISS FM?
No. That's from our Instagram. I'm not joking. That is from our Instagram.
Oh, they took it. Okay.
Yeah. We,
What, you didn't even get named there? Like
visit, well, and
Chamber those, CEO, Crystalyn
those Keith. Exact words are produced by our marketing person, amazing Kevin Henney, local, very local.
Okay.
But yeah, so this past year for Visit Half Moon Bay, Visit Half Moon Bay paid for a marketing study, and now we've been deploying it, and these are the gems that come out of it.
Well, I mean, money well spent, apparently. Okay, so they had two kind of metrics, an affordability rating and a friendliness rating. Interestingly enough, so this all the cities in California, like we got, they listed the top 20, were Half Moon Bay number one. Our affordability rating was 50, which on the entire list that I saw was the lowest affordability rating, the worst.
Right.
By far the worst. I didn't even see another one in the 50s. The next closest one was 60. Ours was 50. Mm-hmm. So by far the worst affordability rating.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got a friendliness rating of 100, which is the highest you could get and the highest of anybody. I mean, okay, we'll talk about the methodology in a second, but both the affordability and the friendliness were the lowest and highest on the list. The Bay Area.
I feel like that does encapsulate the coast side pretty good.
There's
both spectrums, just all the time, just
right.
Totally in one direction. Equally, totally in the other direction.
All or nothing, baby. It's interesting in this top 20, the Bay Area, the Northern California dominated in the Bay Area specifically. Number two was Hillsboro, three Mill Valley, four Stanford, five Emeryville. Then we had six Corona Del Mar, which I just visited last month, and it's very beautiful. Seven McKinleyville.
Oh, there it is.
8, Belmont. 9, Cardiff. That's in SoCal. 10, Solana Beach. That's in San Diego. 11, San Carlos. And 14, Cupertino. Like I said, of the top 20, H&B had the lowest affordability score by far. McKinleyville had the highest combined score at 173. Hats off, McKinleyville. Nice job. They got an 83 on affordability and a 90 on friendly.
Aww.
So that's pretty nice. Okay, so but how? What? What's the methodology here? Okay, from Nextdoor. This is from, so I have three different sources on methodology. None of which are satisfying, but this is all we can. I had the interns go to the Nextdoor site and pore over it, trying to find like some link where they're like, this is how we, you know.
This is how we do it.
Exactly. Okay, this is from Nextdoor. This report is based on community data and analysis provided by Nextdoor's Friendliest Places to Live report. No link to that report. So does this report exist? Who knows? They mentioned it. They don't link to it. You can't find it anywhere. We'll just assume there's some report.
Wink, wink.
Right. From FoxLA.com. Quote, analysts at Nextdoor. Analysts, you mean bots? You mean AI agents? Analysts at Nextdoor ranked the cities based on metrics including walkability, pet friendliness, and natural beauty.
I wonder if that's the moderators.
I mean,
moderators are from the community to which they moderate.
Analysts, okay. From KISS 102.7, the KISS, Nextdoor's methodology considered factors beyond traditional metrics, prioritizing companionship and community connection alongside practical considerations like safety and walkability. The platform analyzed user engagement and community feedback to determine which places foster the strongest neighborhood bonds. You know, so you know who did, who know who these analysts, this platform analyzed, the platform analyzed, people didn't analyze, the platform analyzed, that means AI. This was an AI completely done thing. So, okay, I guess we won the AI wars.
Yeah, I will say, on the day-to-day basis, we are pretty darn friendly. But
That's true.
I will, based on the cities that you mentioned in the list,
yep.
Those also, I think, are cities that have higher adoption rate of Nextdoor than other areas. So it also could be swayed by amount of data. If what I was told is correct, the creator of Nextdoor was fairly local, which is why Half Moon Bay and the Coastside tends to be on the higher end of adopters, because we were kind of first on the list. Mm. Again, if what I was told was true and accurate. And all of the places that you kind of mentioned closer to the top of your list are all places that kind of stem from us outward. So it would not surprise me if some of that data is swayed by just sheer amount of users using the platform. And it could be that our dear sweet co-siders are putting way more pictures of the heron and the sunset, and this is what me and my dog did on the beach, and because there's, you know, lots of beautiful fun things on Nextdoor like that. If we've got, of our 24,000 co-side residents, if 6,000 of them are on the platform, you know, then the ratio of happiness versus, you know, crickets is going to be higher than a larger city that has a lower usage of the platform.
I hear you. So statistical anomalies or statistical, you know, quirks. However, I do feel like both of those numbers, however they came to those numbers, they're both accurate. It's costs a lot to live here, but I'm happy living here. And the people that I encounter on a day-to-day basis seem pretty happy to be here.
Yes, so I did have somebody come and ask me about it when it first was released and, you know, say, well, you know, because of, you know, this project or this grumblings and this and this and this over here, like, how could we get this rating? And it's like, well, yeah, but those are like individual projects and people tend to only get worked up when those projects are brought up. But the average person running around in their day is not just only talking about this one thing that pisses them off. And the whole rest of the time, they're running around being like, this is great. I'm volunteering for Table of Plenty. I'm, you know, going to Cameron's for karaoke and singing my heart out with my neighbors, or, you know, whatever the thing is. And on average, with surfing, like on average, all of these activities are very fun, happy, dopamine-giving activities.
Yeah, exactly. And I can also see how we got that rating, because being an insular community, a closed-off community, we're not, we can't be at each other's throats like some, you know, entrenched political situations maybe in Palo Alto or over the hill, because it's just us over here and there's no other place to go, you know, more or less. And so, and we see each other at the post office and at the ball field and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so there's no gain to being at each other's throats. And so, yeah, I do think that there is a collective happiness here and friendliness that is greater than other places.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So check that as confirmed. We'll confirm Nextdoor's findings here. According to us, it checks out.
CoSide is awesome.
Checks out. Okay. You know what else is awesome? The students of the CoSide. And summer's looming up on the horizon. And that means the end of the school year, right? Side note. Do you remember that ridiculous, idiotic experiment with year-round schools back in the 50s? I mean, 50s. Oh, my goodness. Back in the 70s.
Or well, they also tried to do it back in the 2000s, I feel like.
I mean, stop with that. Like, no. That was just, anyways, that's just an aside. Intern has written, handwritten, somebody's gotten to my script, wrote WTF. These people are too young. They don't remember the attempts to do year-round school. Anyways, the end of the school year in June means graduation ceremonies and award ceremonies. And last week, or this week, was a big week for our local students. It started with the Boys and Girls Club of the CoSide end of the year celebration, which they held in the event center.
Yay.
For the first time. And it was pretty magical.
It was so sweet.
I mean, I'm not, I guess I am throwing shade, but Ted Adcock Center, not a fan. Because of that high center area, all the sound just goes rip right up into that center area, and it's really hard to hear in the Ted Adcock Center. Also, the great thing about the event center, is you can have elevated seating, and that makes a big difference. Makes a big difference. So that was pretty fun. They had some fried chicken and fruit served beforehand. Fried chicken is like ice cream to me. I love me some fried chicken. So that I was just like scarfing down, like just double fisting fried chicken before the event. There was a live song performed by students Darlene and Ricky. Dance performance by the 4th and 5th grade club kids. Executive director Martin Newton did a great job as the MC. Ray Mueller was there to present certificates to both students. You were there. I saw you there.
Yeah, I got a support.
So Ray presented certificates to students and volunteers and staff. They presented the big awards, which are the Youths of the Year. The Junior Youth of the Year Award went to Gustavo Garcia.
Woo-hoo.
The Youth of the Year, and he's an 8th grader. The Youth of the Year Award to a 12th grader went to Sierra Lopez, and she got $5,000. Yes, because there was many. We saw all the graduating club kids, 5th graders, 8th graders, and 12th graders. They all stood up and were recognized. And there was lots of awards, recognitions, and scholarships given out by the Boys and Girls Club of the CoSide, including the John Parsons Sr. and Dennis Albert Plank Scholarships, the Bob Sens Scholarships, the Bob Sens Scholarship in Memory of Brad Seitz, the CUSD Educator of the Year, and the Jill Jacobson and Brian Falvey Scholarships. It was a really fun evening. I love going to that event every year because I just love seeing the club kids, the kids that are members of the Boys and Girls Club of the CoSide, how much they love the Boys and Girls Club of the CoSide. They love these events. They love being club kids. They love their friends at the club. It's pretty cool.
And they're so cheery for each other. So it was like lots of high fives and like heck yes from the kids. Yes. As they're getting their different acknowledgments, and every kid that was there was getting some kind of acknowledgement, which was really awesome. So yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, very fun night. And then the next night, the very next night, Half Moon Bay High School had its department awards night for academic excellence. That was in the high school gym, which is always a fun. When that gym is packed and the vibe is there, it's really fun. This, all four grades were represented. So if you were getting some kind of award, a student, you weren't told what the award was, but you were told you need to be at the awards night because you're getting something.
That's
so that's kind of fun, too, because all the kids are there and they know they're getting something, but they don't know what it's going to be. So that's fun. So, you know, every award that gets announced, kids are like, is it going to be me? Except for a few awards where it was known who was going to be. But that's for all four grades. 123 different students received awards, some more than one. Again, festive atmosphere. The temperature was beautiful. Just such positivity. So many familiar faces and so many memories, especially for us parents of seniors. There were actually, surprisingly, no tears for me and Mrs. Truthmaker that night. But in a couple weeks of graduation, we'll call the Colorado River because we'll have the answer to its water problem. It's going to be nonstop waterworks.
Aww.
So they gave out department awards for all the different departments, like English and visual and performing arts. And so for anywhere from 1 to 10 or 12 kids for each of those departments received awards. They gave out the community service award for the person with the most community service hours. This person set the record for the most ever and had like over, I think, 1,100. So they over 1,100 over their four-year career, which they worked out the math and they presented it at the awards thing. That's 25 hours a month for the 4 years of high school. That's a lot of community service. So that was amazing. Senior scholar athletes were recognized. That these people had to play on a sport and maintain a 3.75 GPA or higher for their entire
career,
high school career. Nice. So all seven semesters, not the eighth because we're still in the eighth, so they didn't have, but all seven semesters, 3.75 or higher, and playing a sport. Athletes of the year were announced, and this was one of the ones where, like, no suspense here. Like, this was, there would have been a riot if it had been anybody other than these two people, both basketball players, although Zoe plays other sports. Zoe Limoges, just an absolute incredible person. Beyond, just take the sports out of her repertoire, so many other amazing things going on. And then Gio Garduño Martin.
Woo-hoo.
The most incredible male basketball player ever in the history of the school, statistically and otherwise. Cougar Spirit Awards. Those were another set of awards given. Outstanding Cougars of the Year. And then the Valedictorian Salutatorian Awards. So this is the person with the second highest GPA and the highest GPA. The Salutatorian was Lauren McClellan.
Woo-hoo.
And the Valedictorian was Avery Palmer Sammons.
Woo-hoo.
And just, yeah, hats off to those two people. Just amazing to, I can't understand how it's done. I don't know how that gets done or how, what it's like to be that smart, but I appreciate it. And then the night after that was the Half Moon Bay High School Local Scholarship Awards night. That was on Wednesday night. These are scholarships from local NPOs to Half Moon Bay High School students.
Yeah.
Okay. Side rant. Rant, more of a grumble.
Man.
This is breaking news, what I just announced, all three of these events, because not anywhere to be, not a mention, not a word of it on CoastSideNews.com. It would be nice to read the names of every student honored this week, especially the big awards. But sadly, as of airtime this morning, there was not one mention of these events on CoastSideNews.com, let alone recognition of the winners. And I say to CoastSide News, and I know I give them a lot of grief, What is a local paper for if not to acknowledge this kind of thing? And I went to have the interns go to Coastside News and bring it up. The above the fold had like two articles about Pacifica. And I know that that's been roped into the Coastside News news group now. But you know what? There wasn't anything about Terra Nova or Oceano High School or whatever having any of their awards either. What is a local paper? If we're not going to how are you going to find out who was the valedictorian? Who was the athlete of the year? Who got the Cougar Spirit Award? This is what a local hometown paper is for, in my opinion. So I'm sorry to grumble about that, but I just really, I find, as I was saying last week, I'm having a lot of issues with Coastside News. They don't have there's no one you can talk to here. They have a mailing address. They don't have an office.
Right. I mean, yeah.
They don't have a presence on the Coastside.
Yeah, Ashton is around. I run into Ashton all the time. And then the other gal, Wheeler, I think she's the one that's a little bit more Pacifica-based. But, yeah, they only have currently two staff writers. It's hard out there.
Okay. Frank's telling me we have 2 minutes left.
Two minutes.
I guess we could read an email because I wanted to talk about the permitting issue because it kind of got lost in the last month or so. We had the last couple weeks we had two political candidates, and so we're kind of focused. Which, by the way, next week, before I forget, next week we've got Paul Nagengast, okay, city council member. He's going to talk about some Half Moon Bay issues and whatnot, and we'll bring in some. We have gotten a ton of email this week about Joaquin and Ray, the last two episodes. Mm-hmm. So we'll read maybe one email about each of them. Otherwise, we could just do the whole show of email. But we got Paul, so we'll rope in some politics stuff, and maybe we'll bring in this permitting thing.
Okay.
So
because I think Half Moon Bay is actually suffering from a similar issue. Of the not enough permits because of the two larger.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really it could be a growing problem. 1 minute, or are we out of time, Frank? 1 minute. Okay, let's. Do we have a 1 minute email here? Ay. Now that's about the side. Okay, sidewalk. I'll just read the email and then we'll have no commentary and you can just listen to that. Okay. This is from Trudy Value Gal. Trudy Value Gal, Coastside Sidewalk Mitigation. I actually listened to your show. I don't really like that that intro. I actually listened to your show as if she doesn't normally.
Begrudgingly, she hates listening to it.
I actually had to listen to it. Okay, I actually listened to your show to hear the sidewalk segment, but I'm still not clear. So the county marked my sidewalk for repair, which they will do if it just needs some sanding down, but which they won't do if it needs more than that, then why did they mark my sidewalk? I think the crack and sinkhole in the sidewalk in front of my house was there before I was born, let alone since I bought my house, or since I bought the house. Why am I the one that has to fix it?
Great questions.
Yeah, and no answer to that. Don't know. Ask County DPW. Here's a short answer. I wish I'd asked Ray this question last week. Here's the short answer. Grant chasing. There was some grant, I'm sure, out of Measure K funds that said we'll pay tens of thousands of dollars to some company to come and sand down these sidewalks, which really do nothing for anybody. But it's a grant. Here we've got money to give away to this. Let's do it. So, grant chasing. That's my theory on why the sidewalks got sanded down. Could they have used it for something else? Yes. But a couple people in the neighborhood got their sidewalks sanded down. The rest of us have white graffiti all over the sidewalks for years to come until it fades away. Thank you, DPW. Okay. On that note, guess what? We'll be back next week.
Woo.
And for the 2 weeks after that,
Woo.
Until we go on our summer break. Next week, we have Paul Nagengast. One of our favorite guests, and he'll be talking Half Moon Bay City government stuff. Okay. Everybody, have a great week. If you see a Coastside student, congratulate them on being great students, and also be friendly with people. We got a reputation to uphold, folks. Okay. Thanks for listening. On behalf of Crystalline, the interns, and Frank, the engineer, Coastal Windage, the talk
of the comb.